Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, everybody. This is VJ Smith. I am the captain of the ship today. We are ready. Oh, there goes the doorbell. Somebody's coming in. It's not you, though, but you're tuning in and you're on the radio with us. I have a special guest with me, a co-host today, that's coming to introduce yourself, ma'am.
Hello, my name is Shanana Smith. No relation.
Uh-huh. No relation.
No relation.
Ain't no kinfolk.
Uh-uh.
Okay, all right.
Well, it's nice to be here.
And it's nice to have you here. We're going to be talking about, single parents, but also we're going to be talking about the effect that being a single parent has on our African-American community and why it's so important and the struggles that our single mothers go through. And so who better to pick than a single mother to actually talk about those things and share those things with? So why don't you share a little bit about, like how's it been for you as a single mother and what are some of the struggles that you've had?
Being a single mother is not a so bad thing. I do get help from my son's father, which is a great thing. He does do some co-parenting with me, but mainly he's home with me. It's not per se a struggle, but it can be for single parents or single mothers that don't have a father in their lives at all. So I do have a daughter that I don't deal with her father at all, and of course that makes me a single mother in that instance. But I do have struggles with when she gets older, maybe we won't have any conversation at all about her having a dad around. Financially, it is a struggle, taking care of a child and not getting help from the father. But some women maintain and, get to the point where they're going to just do it themselves. And I did have a mother that had that instilled that in me, that, regardless if it's a father there or not, you still have to do what you have to do as a mother. So, yes.
Well, I think that's interesting. We seem to have a big problem with men that just kind of, get folks pregnant and just leave them,
yeah.
And it's a big problem. It's a big problem in our community, and it has a huge impact and a huge effect on the way that our kids grow up,
mm-hmm.
because so many of the mothers grow up saying, I'm your mama and your daddy, and
that's right.
You can't be both. It's not possible. You can be the best mother in the world, and we know that, but then these kids grow up wishing they had dads,
mm-hmm.
and take anger and bitterness out on other people because daddy's not around.
Yeah, that's true.
And what do you think mothers can do to help that?
Me personally, I try to, I have my daughter's 9 months, so I haven't, she doesn't know how to, she doesn't know that she doesn't have a father around at all, but my son, his dad is around him, but mostly on the weekends, so I try to, talk to him over the phone, keep him busy, with basketball, football, things like that, and still entwine his dad in things he does at school. Sometimes he might not be able to get to school, and I always make sure I call him to let him know things that's going on with his son, But with my daughter, I know it's going to be a whole nother situation. I'm going to have to, if he doesn't get in her life now, I don't know what's going to happen. And I just would just suggest women to just, try to be a multitasker when it comes to their kids. Make sure that you're paying attention to what they're doing in school. Pay attention to what they want to do. Pay attention to what they're what they want to be. My sons tell me all the time, I want to be an FBI agent or an astronaut.
Wow.
So I make sure, I say, you can do it if you want to. You know what I mean? And I try to call my brothers and try to involve them in things, when he does stuff he doesn't have any business, even though his dad's around. But then when my daughter gets a little older, I'm going to involve, if her dad's not around, I'm going to involve my brothers, I'm going to involve, you know, other male figures, you know, my dad, you know, to try to instill things in her. You know, other male figures in positive men in, you know, in your life you can, you know, surround her with. Just, you know, if you don't have a father around. So, you know, you got to think about that.
One of the things that I think we created when we had a lot of our mothers had babies at an early age is that a lot of women were looking for their daddy when they got pregnant.
Yep.
They were actually looking for a male. They were looking for somebody to replace the absence of a daddy. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I've always had a father figure in my life. But other women that don't have that father figure in their life do try to like replace their that they didn't have their father with a man, and time after time you get with the wrong man. Some
mm-hmm.
women get with the wrong man and stay with that man, even with abuse. You know, having babies. He's in the drug game. He's in a gang. You know, it does make a difference of if you have a father, what men you do choose in your life. So I think they make these decisions because their mother isn't, you know, telling them anything either. You know, sometimes your mom is not telling you anything about what type of man to deal with, you know, or they're dealing with men that are good for them also. You know,
I've
even
heard cases of where mom and daughter are dealing with the same man.
Yeah, I have too.
And so that kind of stuff says something about the way you were raised up and brought up,
right,
that you would want to deal with the same man that your mama deals with.
Yep.
I've heard that, you know, I got to get home quick because if I don't get that man's money, you know, my baby girl will.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want her to get it because I need that money. You know, talk a little bit about how you're brought up. Your mom is from down the south.
Yes.
And I think she's going to be calling in to listen. But let's talk a little bit about your mom and how she brought you up and some of the things that you learned from her.
Well, my mother was a very adamant person. She wanted to make sure that we were good people. We did the right things. When she had company, we couldn't be in the living room in their face, and we couldn't. I had to come in the house and do chores. I had to work. I did when my friends wanted me to come over. My mama wouldn't let me come over every weekend. She'll work with me. Do every other weekend, which back then was unfair to me, but now that I'm grown, that gave me a little, you know, stability. So I appreciate that. You know, she was kind of hard sometimes, but she still instilled in us that you be a good person, you know, pay attention to what's going on, and the decisions that you make, you will probably live with all your life. So you had to maintain what type of person you want to be just by being in your mom's, you know, presence. Some mothers don't have that. You know, some mothers don't really get, you know, the motherly that they need to be motherly to their kids, boys and girls. Boys, you still have to be motherly to them. Also, you need to give them that something that makes them, you know, a little bit more caring, so they won't be so hard when they get older. You know what I mean? Some women just don't know how to be mothers, and they had kids at young ages, and they just doing what they're just trying the way how somebody taught them how to be a mother. You know what I mean? They're just taking that from. They're not making any difference. They're not making a difference with their kids. They're doing what their mother did with them. So it's a hard road when you're single, but you still have to have common sense and understand that, you know, what's right and what's wrong and what's going to make your kids great individuals when they get older and great citizens where they are going to be, they care about voting. You know what I mean? They care about going to school, and they care about going to the doctor, and they care about, you know, making sure that everything's in their life in order. You know, some people walk around here like it's nothing, like life is you only have one life. So life, you have to maintain that life.
Yeah, you do have to maintain that life. And one thing I found out that's really important and I think is critical is that when you look at the fabric of what a family is supposed to be, when you look at, you know, I didn't grow up with a mother and father. I don't know what that feels like. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's like. And a lot of people in our community don't know what that's like. And so you begin to think it's normal not to have a family nucleus together.
Yep.
You begin to think it's normal that just mama does everything.
Yeah.
You know, but let me say this too. There are some great fathers out there. There are some great fathers. And I want to give a big homage to all the wonderful fathers that we have out there. A lot of times when you get in a relationship, you meet somebody, you're not really thinking about, is this the kind of person I want to spend the rest of my life with?
Yep.
You meet somebody and you think, they look good. Oh, man, that's hot. You know,
what they going to do for me?
She's fine. He's fine. What's up? You know, and you're not thinking. And all of a sudden, 9 months later, here comes the baby.
Yeah.
And then you have to begin to think, am I going to be with this person?
No.
For the rest? No. That ain't what we was trying to do.
Yeah.
We was trying to do our own thing.
That's right.
It wasn't about that. But we have to start thinking, I think, seriously about, and we have to start teaching our kids to think about being with somebody that's like you, that has the same goals and aspirations as you. And you know, it's hard. You know, I've seen people that, you know, like, were crazy about an individual, but just realize that
if they can't do nothing for them,
you know, it's not going to be a good match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, and, you know, you sound like a typical wonderful female that says, they can't do nothing for me. Because, you know, women, that's the way women think.
But see.
It's important.
Me thinking, saying that they can't do nothing for me, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm from the country.
You from the country?
They can't do nothing for me. Emotionally, financially, can't do nothing for me. I don't want to get married.
You want to get married?
Okay, I do want to get married.
You want a man that wants to marry you.
That's right.
Right. You don't mind going out on dates. You don't mind going to dinner.
Yep.
But eventually,
I'm ready to read you.
Okay.
When I was younger, I wasn't ready to read.
Okay.
Now I'm ready to. And I see the situation when you're having a baby. Everybody was looking good. He was looking good. I got in that situation. That's why I got a 9-month-old right now.
Right.
I don't regret it. Love my baby to death. But now I got to read. Oh, I ain't gonna go through this no more. I have to read people. It ain't hard, though, but now I know I have to read you.
Right.
Read what you're trying to do, what you're on. If you ain't on nothing, then we're not going to have any, it's nothing's going to go on. Like, we're going to keep going in this circle
Absolutely.
Of deceit.
Absolutely.
That's what it's going to be.
See, and there's a difference between, love and then lust.
That's right.
Because love means that I love you. Lust means that
love you sometimes.
Right, maybe. Right. Absolutely. Now, we got a caller that wants to chime in on our conversation. Listen to Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads, and we're talking about relationships. We're talking about moms and single moms and how they make it. Let's go to caller at 3062. How you doing? And welcome to Blog Talk.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. You're live on the air. How you doing? How you doing? Okay, we're going to put you back on hold. You know, one of the things that, and if you, I think you push the one, if you push one, that gives me a signal that you want to talk, and you want to talk about what we're doing. So just push one, that gives me a signal here. I know that you want to talk. I have been really concerned about our black men. They're going to prison.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these black men are cousins. They're related. They're neighbors. They live across the street from each other. And a lot of these mothers went to school together.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these mothers that have kids that are banging and in these cliques and carrying guns, they don't even know their babies got guns.
Mm-hmm.
But they do. And these kids are 13, 14, some are even 11 and 12 that have guns.
Mm-hmm.
And they either have been shot or have shot somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They're robbing their peers.
Mm-hmm.
You can only rob for so long before somebody in the block says, look, there he is right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know.
Meanwhile, they having sex and they having babies.
They having sex and they having babies.
With all of that extra going on right there.
They doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we understand that if a father was around, he could read a lot of the stuff. It's something about a mother that sometimes even when your baby do wrong, you can't, you know, it seems like, I don't know what you call it, I'm not a mother, but what do you call that? It's a protective instinct that a mother has that said, no, not my baby.
Yep.
I don't care how bad you say, not my baby. My baby ain't got no gun.
Right.
My baby ain't sell no dope.
Right.
My baby ain't robbed nobody.
Right.
What is that?
That is, like you said, you're being protective of your child. Because that's somebody that came out of you. That's somebody that you've seen grow up. You know what I mean? You know their personality. So when they get older and families that haven't had fathers or families that wasn't raised right, but not raised accordingly to society, you know what I mean? So if they get out in the street, their mother or their father, some fathers is like that too about their daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a protective, you're just being protected of your child. But see, how I was raised, my mama don't uphold me in no wrong. None of her kids.
Okay.
You did wrong. If I find that you did wrong, I don't uphold you in no wrong. I'm going to punish you for what you did, not, you know, severely, but punish you in a certain way that you know that was something you weren't supposed to do. But then when you get older, you hope that you instill that in them to be good people. But when they do something they don't have no business, you can't doubt them that they didn't do it because you don't know. They're grown now. They could have done it. They could have been involved in a drive-by shooting. They could have been involved in any criminal act. You know what I mean? It's just, that's just life. You have to realize that sometimes your kids aren't angels.
Yeah, you have to realize that your kids aren't angels, and it's hard to realize that when you just, they're little babies.
And they were so cute.
And you watch them grow up, and when they're around you, they act so nice.
Yep.
But they robbing people around the corner.
They're
breaking in, kicking the door, next door neighbor's door in.
Got two sides.
And doing all that stuff. And if daddy wasn't getting high or running around chasing all these women or in the penitentiary, you know, or dead, he could have a huge impact. So we're saluting all the mothers, but we're also saying that fathers have got to change. Looks like we got a caller on 4808. Your last four numbers are 4808, so don't hang up. Just talk to us. How you doing? Welcome to Blog Talk.
Hi, I'm good. I'm doing great. Doing great.
You want to talk a little bit about our discussion today?
Yeah. Actually, I want to talk about the fact of single mothers. I think it's a positive side to have a single mother. I think in the media we talk about single mothers, how it's a negative. It's always a negative thing instead of a positive. I think I can speak on that because I grew up in a single-parent home with a mother. I was raised over North Minneapolis, so I graduated from Patrick Henry High School in 2005. Yeah, Northside. I'm a Patriot, so I just turned 25 years old. So I've been through the system. I've been through the education system. I graduated. I went to college. I can say that it wasn't, I think, for a single mother in my life was a deeper impact. Broke a lot of circumstances, a lot of stereotypes of a single young man over North Minneapolis. You know, not having a kid right away. You know, not having girls getting girls pregnant right away. But staying out of that bad environment. The positive side of a single mother is more powerful than the negative side that the media portrays a lot on single mothers. Yeah, there's a lot of characteristics. Yeah, a lot of things that are not going right, but at the same time, there's a lot of positive, a lot of influence. And I think the role model of a father is different, is defined differently now. It's not just a man that has the man features, but it's also the man in the church, you know, a man in the society and education. And I think that's what I had a big influence in my life because men came in different shapes and sizes and different forms. It was in the school setting, it was in church. It was in the environment. It was at the YMCA. It was people that were not males, but they took the part of the male role. And I think that's why when I look at single mothers, I don't look them down in a negative way, but I look at it in a positive way, because there's a great impact in that. There's a great power. There's a great motivation in that, because these mothers take two sides. They become the father and the mother at the same time. But at the same time, we all talk about the physical how it affects the individual, but also we don't talk about the spiritual side, the emotional side. I just turned 25 last week on the 16th. I give thanks to God for not having kids yet. I haven't been in gangs. I haven't been arrested. I'm not in drugs, but I'm getting my education, working in the community now. But I think it's more of a spiritual and emotional side effect for young males, even for women who get older. It's not more of a physical thing, but it's actually more of a spiritual, mental thing that we forget to talk about. Because even though I'm older now, I know that my life in God is powerful, and I know God's life, you know, God's working in my life. But at the same time, it's not a physical thing. It's more of a mental thing. Try to divide those concepts, those stereotypes, those barriers of emotional, of feeling always have that need to have somebody love me. And I think as a male, we need to talk about those for how can the church, how can the community help those individuals that grew up in a single-parent home that had accomplished a lot, or have been through a system, or haven't been through a system, but are being affected spiritually and mentally. And that's it.
Wow, that is amazing. What's your name?
My name is Joel. Joel Martinez.
Hey, Joel, can you stay on the line with us? I want to come back to you.
Yep.
Well, great, because I want to, man, Joel is dynamic, and I like that. I'm going to go back. I think we got Sharkbody on the phone. I'm going to go back to Joel. Joel, I appreciate what you're saying, man, because what you're saying is lift the single parents up, and we did that at first. We saluted them. We loved them. But we also want to kind of press on our men to step up to the plate. Our men have got to step up. We're going to go back to Joel, and I'm going to ask him a question about men stepping up. I'm going to go right now to 4331. Is that Sharkbody?
What's happening, baby?
That's Sharkbody on the phone. Man, it's so good to hear you, man. We've been missing you, man, for a couple of weeks. You got to tell me, was you in L.A., New York? Where were you, brother?
Man, I was out there in L.A., man. You know, they doing big things out there for me with that book, man. The book coming together great out there, man. So I've been out there working, getting the book together so we can get that West Coast version of the Thug Bible ready for y'all, man. We can hit the streets again. I'm out here in Minnesota back now so I can get back with Mad Dad and put work in the streets.
Well, come on. You know, we ready. You know, we're ready for you. And, you know, our topic, we're talking about single parents and the mothers and how they have to struggle with our babies and how, you know, so many of our mothers, and you've seen them, Sharkbody, out in the streets when the blood hits the street, that's the mama's right there crying, not my baby, not my baby, not my, my baby wasn't none of this. Well, my baby, they'd be at the funeral saying, my baby wasn't none of this. My baby's a good baby. But in the same token, we realize that we have a problem, though.
Right. The thing I got to say about that, man, it's like these days, it's about these women. It's not about the single woman doing it. You know what I mean? The single woman, they got more power in the world. You know what I mean? Because they don't have nobody to back them up. Sharing that to say is back when they used to punish me back in the day. I'm going to be 30, 40 years old next year, man. You know what I mean? So back when I was getting punished when I was a kid, we didn't get a solution to the problem. You know what I mean? They punished you when I was a kid, I stole some candy from the store one time. My mama, she punished me for it, but my pops was around, but he wasn't there to like show me like you don't have to steal for this. You can go get you a good job and you know what I mean, earn that candy bar. You know what I'm saying? Saying that to say is the punishment comes first without the guidance. When you punish your kids and stuff like that, if for doing wrong or what, and need help for doing something wrong, we forget to provide them with a solution to the problem. You know what I mean? Give them some guidance toward the right way about doing things. So it's about, you know, raising your kid to be, you know what I mean, the best he can and installing belief into them. You know what I mean? In the things they do. That's why they end up, the parents don't end up knowing what the kid's doing on the streets because they have no trust into their environment. They send their mama out there struggling by herself doing things, then they really not have nobody to look up to outside of her. And then the streets, the people around them, they influence them more because once they're outside their mama's presence, the streets got, now they got to deal with the streets. Now, see, that's another reason why I wrote my book, The Thug Bible, and I wrote it with the cuss words in and all that because of the fact that they're not hearing the positive thing that their mom and them talking about. So they're going to the streets and let somebody like me who sells dope influence them you know what I mean, to sell dope with me instead of me influencing them to sell some positive with me. So in order for them to do that, they would have to know how to get understanding from both sides of the ticket, like far as the mom, the single mom, and then like she ain't got no father to help her guide him. So now he got the streets guiding him. Now they got the streets guiding him. Now they got all these bad influences outside their mama showing them how to do things, and they get influenced by that. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, once you find out your kid is doing something wrong, you know what I mean, in life, it's not all about punishing them. It's about punishing them and showing them a solution to the problem. You know what I mean? Showing them how to be, instead of going to steal for a living, show them how to go gain what they need to do to make that living happen for themselves. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's more power to the single woman, but they still need help from their community as far as the men in the community, period. The police officers, the mad dads, you know what I mean? The influences must come from the men, because a woman can't raise no boy, no man. They can't do it. But all they can do is show them what they can to be a better person. But some of these women out here don't even know how to be better themselves. They self, these single moms, they've been misdirected themselves, so they can't even show the person how to go the right ways. You know what I mean? I've seen a lot of single moms out here that really don't know how to raise their own self. They still having babies on their own, and they still trying to raise that one kid, trying to show him how to do wrong, but they still having kids. You know what I'm saying? They still showing them negative situations, but trying to solve something positive. You got to lead by example. You know what I mean? It's about leading by example. You got to show these kids exactly what you're talking about. You can't just punish them and not show them how to get out of it.
You know, I want to ask you something, Cheryl, buddy. You got I listened to your album, man. There's a few songs on there, man, I love, because, you know, a couple of the ones I love don't have no cussing on there, you know. And you got a little slow jammy on there that I like, man. I pumped that up, you know. But the Mad Dad theme song that you wrote and produced, Short Buddy, I love that song, man. We're trying to get KMOJ to pump it up. They promised, Chris Stahl promised to pump it up after the first year, and we haven't heard it yet, or you would have heard about it if you played it. So we're going to just keep replying. You know, if folks are listening on the air, call KMOJ, tell them you want to hear the Mad Dad theme song, because it is a hot song, man. You really put something down into it. Now, listen to the two worlds. Now, Joe, he called earlier, and he's still on the line. I'm going to go back to him because I want to say the different sides. Here's Short Buddy, grew up. You know, his father was there, but he really wasn't around. His mother brought him up. People in the neighborhood raised him, but he still went out. He sold dope. He gang-banged and did all that. And he made a choice. See, Short Buddy made a choice. Now, Joel made another choice. He had another option. He got in school. He did all the things he needed to do. And he did it with a single mother, too. So
right.
Sometimes it's about the choice that the kids make. I'm going to go back to Joel, and I'm going to come back to you, because I know you got a lot more to say. Okay, bro, so you hold on.
Nope.
That's us. That's Short Buddy, man. I'm going back to Joe because, I what Joe was saying, as you can hear, the two differences in the stories. Joe's glad. Good to have you back on, man, and welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, if you haven't heard of Short Buddy, you have today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Short Buddy grew up, you know, in a household where
mm-hmm.
he had choices, too, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose choices that weren't, you know, that got him incarcerated
mm-hmm.
and, you know, involved with drugs and all that. Now he's turning that around and doing
mm-hmm.
something different for the community. So
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's about the choices we make. And I love the fact that you're lifting up. What's your mom's name?
My mom's name is, she's not African-American. She's actually Mexican descent. So her name is Bertha.
Well, that's all right. Well, you know, it doesn't
yeah.
matter what she is.
I know,
you came
I know.
Up on, you came up on the north side, man. You a hood rat, baby.
That's hood rat, yep.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm really, really proud of what you've done, but I'm also proud of what Short Buddy has done because he
mm-hmm.
could have been a statistic just like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, how did you stay away from those that wanted to influence you to be in gangs? How did you stay away from them?
I think one of the most important things that I give credit to was I think the public school system, the education system. I know in the media and the community, we talk about the schools failing our kids, and you know, and there's some truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that our school system are failing our kids. But there's a lot of positive side of that too. At Henry, coming from the St. Paul public school system and coming to Minneapolis for a school over North Minneapolis at Henry, I noticed the difference of education. North was more Patrick Henry was more of a small community school compared to St. Paul Hardy, a big school, over 3,000 students. I was able to succeed, and I had teachers that were able to see not as a statistic or as a minority, but see me as an individual that had some problems education-wise, but had a good potential. And I've been handled with teachers that were young teachers that had a passion for inner-city kids and was willing to point to that, willing to say, hey, you know what, stay at your study hall. You know, I'm going to help you do this. You know, having attentional adults that actually care about people, you know, that we're not in a church setting, but also we're in the school settings that we're willing to spend time with you. And we're not getting extra paid, but willing to pour into you. So I think that was a positive side, too. But I think one of the things that I learned in high school was that being involved in the political system. I was fortunate to be part of citywide student council, be a class officer, and go to and also be part of the Veterans of War and go to St. John's College for my junior year to be part of the political system. That was positive to see how the system works and be as a minority and see other minorities in Minneapolis come and see, make laws, pass resolutions, and see that we have control, that we have more than just our physical athletic abilities, but we also want to be educated. We can do a lot of difference in our community. So I think having different experience like that and having kids, having the opportunity to be involved in those and being invited, I think those are also powerful ways that they can help a single mother. You know, because I know a lot of single mothers work 2-3 jobs and try to do their best and tell their kids probably go to church. And the church is very old school, charismatic, Pentecostal or Baptist. And a lot of the churches don't really relate to the students, don't relate to the young kids these days, you know. So having the fortunate to listen to hip-hop and over North Minneapolis and be part of Urban Jerusalem, it's an urban church in North Minneapolis with Pastor Stacy Jones that does hip-hop and R&B but presents the gospel and encourages kids to be going to church and be part of the community. I think having people to be related to me in my level instead of me trying to get to their level and relate to them, that was a big impact for me. So having those individuals to really be, it's come down to my level to relate. Because I think a lot of youth these days have to get to a level to those adults and have to relate to them. And when they do that, they lose themselves. They lose self-respect and they lose who they are. And they have to act to be somebody. But that's the problem, you know. Everybody's trying to be somebody. But it's a matter of trying to come to a level and relate to those individuals, those kids. But I think, you know, the Henry was a big impact for me. I had, fortunately, to have a career counselor, college counselor that became my pastor, Denisha Smith, who is the wife of Ephraim Smith, who was the senior pastor at Sanctuary Covenant Church. She was a great motivation. She, you know, encouraged me to, you know, say, you have great potential. Who cares if you have a father physically here, but your father is in heaven. Not just in heaven, but you have people who are adults here in North Minneapolis, are part of the community, they do want to see you succeed. And having those individuals coming around my mom, supporting her and supporting me in my athletics, my education, even when I got in a fight, you know, even coming and supporting me, taking me to Saturday school or helping me do math, I think those things, having those individuals from all walks of life coming and supporting those individuals, those kids, that was positive. And any of that, but I think since we live over North, we have a multi-ethnic community. We have Hmong, we have growing population of Latinos, we have African-American, and we have some Africans in North Minneapolis. Having that diversity of community and able to relate to other people in the community that are going through the same struggle, that was a positive side. That was a big encouragement. That was a big influence, you know. I've been to a lot of Hmong weddings. I've been to a lot of African-American weddings. You know, and it's having that diversity of cultures around you that you can relate to those people, that having a sense of home, a father figure, it goes away, you know, that having the emptiness to some point goes away, and that helps you a lot. So I give a lot of credit to those individuals in the community who are from African-American community, who are the Hmong community, who are the growing population of Latinos or African community, you know. Those are the positive sides of why I'm here. And also has brought in my point of view of society and the world, because I think over North, something we tend to, as young males or as young youth, our mind tends to be really, really narrow-minded to see one culture and one way how to do life. It's all, we're on our own. We got to struggle. We got to fight for what we get. And it's not a fight. It's more of a walk. It's a passing journey. with together. And if we can do it together, it's much easier. It's going to be less painful, but it's going to be much easier to walk together instead of walking by ourselves.
Hey, I like that, Joe. You're a smart guy. You're a wise man. I think you need your own radio show. You are the man. I love you, Joe. I'm so proud of you. Stick with us. I'm going to go to another caller. We'll come right back. That was Joe, man. We're talking to, hey, I'm going to ask a question of my man, Short Body. You know, he's been home for a long time. He probably done wrote a whole new song. But I'm going to come to Short Body. Short Body, how you doing, brother?
How you doing, sir? How you doing? I'm ready.
Hey, I got a question for you. You remember that song, Self-Destruction, with KRS-One,
yeah.
Chuck D, Kumo
yeah.
D, Be Nice,
yeah.
Just Ice,
yeah.
Dougie Fresh,
yeah.
Miss Melody,
yeah.
MC Light, Flavor Flav,
yeah.
all them.
D-Nice,
remember that
yeah.
song?
Yes, sir.
What happened to songs like that, Short Body?
Man, you see, that'll be a whole hour talk right there, man. that'll be a whole hour talk right there, sir. I mean, what happened to so? The devil got a hold of our community, man. Bad, fam. The devil got a hold to a lot of things, man. That won't let it. That was a good thing. When you doing something positive and powerful, self-destruction was just like you said. What happened to it? They get rid of it, man. They don't want to, like you said, they don't want to play the Mad Dads on the radio because it's not as quick as they would the lollipop songs and stuff, man. They'll play them real quick. I mean, but it's a lot of self-destruction songs out. I got self-destruction songs right now. I used to be an OG gangster, right? I got songs right now with Vice Lords, Blackstones, BDs, Latin Kings, Latin Folks. I got songs and music and do work with all these people right now today. You know what I'm saying? But they won't put none of our music on the radio. And this music we're talking about, like you said, they don't got cuss words in it. They don't got none of that. They got positive messages in them. So saying that to say, it is out here. They're just not putting it out there. They won't. The devil got a hold of the music industry, the movie industry, everything. I'm not rich right now because I'm not working with the devil. You know what I'm saying? I won't sell my soul. That's why self-destruction ain't out there right now. That's why you see no more self-destructions out there. They don't want that out there because the devil used that as a tool to hold our people, our mentality there, our hood mentality. They want to keep us in that cussing mentality. My cuss words in my book, and what I took cuss for, not to keep cussing, is to show you, it's to reach the people who listen to the cussing because they won't listen to the people who are not cussing. So when I tell the people who cussing, get the F off the streets, that's what I'm saying to them in a positive fashion so they can hear that because you can say, Vita, you'll be like, man, get off the street and stop slagging like that. They'll hear you, but if I say, man, get your A off the street, sling it like that, and I'm talking to them in their language, they'll hear me before they hear VJ. So that's how I send my people to VJ. That's how I get my people to VJ, the people who won't listen to the people who not cussing. I didn't listen to the people who weren't cussing when I was out there slanging. The people who was cussing, I heard them before I heard VJ now. That's why I was out there slanging. You know what I mean? That's why school is very important, man, because one thing about when I was out there slanging and banging, school kept me out of a lot of stuff, too, like my man Joe said. School, there are people want to help you out there that you got to pay attention to. I didn't pay attention to them people in school. You know what I'm saying? Even though they went cussing at me. You know what I mean? We're in the hood. I listened to the cuss. That attracted me first. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy, but that's that hood mentality we go through. That's the hood mentality I had. You know what I'm saying? I did hear my teachers tell me I could do things here and there. You know what I mean? I did have that motivational person in my grammar schools and my high schools. I did hear them. But as soon as I left them, I had a couple of hours with them. But the rest of my life was spent on them streets. So that's what influenced me a lot more, even though back when I was going to high school, man, you need 21 credits to graduate. I had 19 credits to graduate. And I went to, before I graduated, I went to the penitentiary at 17, man. You know what I'm saying? I was going to graduate. I had took my cap and gown pictures and everything. You know what I mean? Everything. I took my cap. I'm in a yearbook for graduating that year, and I was in the penitentiary when they was walking across the stage. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened to me at 17. So saying that to say, school, that has something to do with me right now being an author right now. Because I took the knowledge that I did learn in school, they helped me write my book. You know what I'm saying? The stuff that I did learn from the people who were telling me to be somebody, now that I remember that and look back on that, now it ain't too late for me to change my life. You know what I'm saying? So it got to me at a late age. You know what I mean? I had to go through hell to understand that there's a heaven. You know what I'm saying? Because at one time, I didn't believe that I was a true guy like that because I was living so bad on them streets. You know what I mean? So, like he said, it is positive forces in there, but they got to learn how to get down to them kids' level so they can track them, too. Like I said, you can't tell them they're doing wrong without a solution that's going to help their problem. You know what I mean? Believe in their talent, take it to another level, man. So saying that, VJ, hey, man, we got it's a good and evil war out here, and we got to keep on making this good music out here like I'm trying to do and put it out there to the best of our ability, fam.
Hey, and you know what, man? I knew I'd get you hyped up when I brought that up because, see, here's the deal. That music is the same music that instead of you fighting the power, you working with the power. Now, in other words, instead of you fighting the power and the power in your neighborhood, you robbing your neighbors, you robbing your brothers and sisters, you robbing your elders, you stealing, you getting everybody in your community high, you selling wet, you blowing their minds, you taking their minds. And, you know, just think about it, man. A murderer can be a person that simply sells formaldehyde and embalming fluid and puts that on cigarettes and marijuana sticks and gives it to people in our community. That's homicide. When you see these zombies walking around in our neighborhood, they'll never be the same again. They will never be the same again. That was the power that KRS-One and all them were talking about fighting. When they said fight the power, they were talking about that crack cocaine and what it's doing to our community. When they said fight the power, they were talking about you can't just keep getting women pregnant all over the country. Say you're going to be a father. All you can be is a seed planter. But if you plant seeds and you don't water them, you don't water the seeds, you come up with some rotten material. That's what's happening. Too many people are planting seeds.
That's one more thing I want to say, because that's why we having a lot of single mamas out here, too, like you were saying. They out here listening to these. They'll cut the cuss word off. They're telling us to get off the streets, and then they'll put a rap song on that that's talking about lick the lollipop, and then these kids out here popping and locking and having kids having kids. So how you gonna gas somebody if you ain't got no gas yourself? You still out here popping babies, talking about you a single mama and crying about that, but you study out here popping babies and then you want to cry about it. So saying that to say, go back to the music again. You won't hear me on the radio because you'll hear them talking about licking the lollipop. So them kids can go out there and go have babies and keep having babies, and then blame the streets for having that baby, that girl out there having that baby, being a single mom. That's what it's a lot of influence. These music is soulful, man. If you don't, you can use it for the wrong reason and the right reason. You know what I'm saying? So it's like right now the radio wave, and like I said, when we were listening to music, it was leading us to ways out the negative situations. This music out these days, they keep you right there stuck in the same mind frame. So we can't be evolved, man. So we can't feel good. There's not no feel good music out here no more. So it's about we gotta put the music for the right direction and the entertainment, period. You know what I mean? So
well, thanks, Sharp Body. We're gonna come back to you. We're gonna come back to you in just a minute. That's Sharp Body, my man. Hey, I just wanna let Joe have a few closing remarks as we begin to close out our radio program. Joe, thanks for calling in, and thanks for being a part of Mad Dad's Blog Talk Radio. We come on every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Check us out on Facebook, too. You can connect with us on Blog Talk Radio, but we are always around. Hey, Joel, I just want to thank you, man, for being a part. Any closing comments, sir?
No, I just said, you know, I believe there's a lot of positive things over North Minneapolis, a lot of organizations, a lot of good churches, a lot of people that have good intentions. It's just a matter, you know, putting them all together and put them in the list and let kids know where things are, you know. And I think that would be a positive side because I think a lot of kids over north don't know where things are because everything's so hidden, you know. But there's positive things and positive activity, positive organizations are doing great things over north. And it's a matter of just making that more invisible for the kids to know where it's at. And I think when that's out there, kids are able to be involved in a positive environment. So I think that would make a great impact, too. So,
hey, thanks a lot, Joel. Appreciate you calling. That was Joel, my man. I hope you call back in real soon. Hey, closing remarks. I'm going to get a few closing remarks. And remember, we got our support group every Tuesday and Thursday. Take a pen and paper, write this down. 3023 4th Avenue South. That's where we'll be at. Oh, man, you didn't write it down? Well, write the number down. 612-822-0802. We'll be ready and waiting for your call. Closing remarks from my man, Mr. Sharpbody, man. You know what, man? I gave you enough time to write a new song. I hope you did it. What's up, man? Any closing remarks?
Yeah, man. God bless y'all, man. The Mad Dads, man, y'all my idols, man. Keep on doing what y'all doing, man. We need y'all out here, man. You know what I mean? And to all the single women out there, keep your head up, man, because we need y'all too.
Hey, thanks, man. Man, that's my man, Sharpbody. Now, they call him Sharpbody. If you didn't listen, you can listen to the past episode, find out why they call him Sharpbody. But you know what? That's another story, too. That might take another hour. We don't have it, though. We're about down to 31 seconds. But I want you to know that the reason why Mad Dad is who we are and the reason why we don't cuss is because we got folks out there that cuss enough. and we just trying to love on our community and do it in the right way. And plus, when I gave my life to the Lord, some things I had to give up. And so, you know, one day Sharp Body ain't going to cuss either. You know what I'm saying? He'll still be reaching folks with his Bible. He might even take the cuss words out of the Bible. You never know. Who knows? Who knows what Sharp Body going to do? He got a long life to live. Any closing remarks before you go, ma'am? We're gone. There you go. It's done.